The business news of the nation, region, and the greater Des Moines Metro made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Business law and estate planning, visit creamerlaw.com. And AARP of Iowa, real possibilities for our community and our citizens, no matter the age, aarp.org.
Hey, welcome back to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you guys are hanging out with us on your drive home this evening. With us in studio is Teresa Greenfield. Teresa Greenfield is running for the opportunity to represent Iowa's 3rd Congressional District in the United States House of Representatives. Those are 2-year terms, and you know, it always seems like you're running when you're in a 2-year term situation. Teresa, welcome to the Business News Hour. Nice to have you here.
It's great to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Actually, this is a welcome back.
It is. Yes.
You were with us, what, maybe 4 or 5 years ago?
4 or 5 years ago when I first joined Colby Interest as their president. You invited me down, and I was so nervous.
No, not you.
And it was great, though. I got a chance to talk about the Colby family, Windsor Heights, and give a little bit of my background.
There you go. Well, we're going to get into a little bit more of your background today because this is what this is about. And we don't generally do politics on the Business News Hour, but because we are in the 3rd Congressional District, because there are 6 individuals running for a primary that's going to be held in June, we thought it would be the business sort of thing to do because business and politics sometimes do intersect. And so we've been asking each one of the candidates in for an extended interview. So tell us about you, Teresa Greenfield. Where are you from? What are you doing? How come you're doing this? What's going on?
Well, today I live in the city of Des Moines.
Right.
But, you know, I grew up kind of a scrappy farm kid during the farm crisis and graduated from high school in 1982. So everybody knows how old I am now.
That's right.
On a little farm just on the Minnesota-Iowa border, and we called that area Lapland.
Why?
Because you did business on both sides of the border.
Oh, okay.
It was so close. Literally could see across the gravel road to Iowa. And so I'm not going to talk about the boys I might have dated from Iowa. But my parents used the rake elevator, and they banked in Rake, Iowa. And we attended the Catholic Church in Blue Earth. And, you know, folks from Iowa came up because that was the closest Catholic church. So
Sure. There
was a lot of crossing over in this Lapland area.
Hence the name Lapland.
Lapland it is.
Overlapped.
Yep.
All right. So you grew up there on a farm?
On a farm. My parents, they raised 5 kids. They had row crops. They raised hogs. And my dad was a crop duster. You know what that is?
Oh, yeah. That's airplanes?
That's airplanes.
That's crazy stuff.
It's pretty adventurous.
Pretty scary, yeah.
I will tell you, though, as a little girl watching your dad soar through the sky,
it's way cool. Huh?
It's way cool and way exciting. And I thought, if my dad can do that, I can do anything.
There you go. And clearly, that's what we're up to right now. So then how did you get to Iowa from Minnesota?
Sure. Well, times were tough during the farm crisis. My parents struggled to hang on to their farm, but they did. But I will tell you, when I graduated from high school, there were no jobs.
There were no jobs. 1982 was the height of the farm crisis.
21% interest rates.
Yeah.
People were losing equipment, farms, and farmers were committing suicide. It was tough times up and down the Midwest. I headed off to community college, Iowa Lakes Community College. I love the community college system, plug it all the time. And that was in Estherville, and that's back when a scrappy farm kid could get a job at a Pizza Hut.
Yeah,
and
you could
pay your rent and buy food and pay tuition and books and have a beer. And that's where I started out, and I loved it. But from there, I eventually made my way to Iowa State. So I crossed over in 82 and proceeded to stay
there
in Iowa for quite some time.
So you went to Iowa State.
I did.
All right.
I did.
Keep going. This
okay,
is getting better.
Okay, I'll keep going. Keep going. Well, Iowa State's a great college, 4-year school. I have to be honest, I like the boy I met at Iowa State.
No kidding. the romantic touch had to wind its way in here. So you met a guy.
I did. And
was he an Iowa guy?
He was living in Iowa.
Okay.
He was raised in Lapland, too, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I hadn't met him prior to going to Iowa State.
Okay.
And so in 1985, rather than go home for the winter break, we went to Breckenridge, Colorado, eloped, and got married. Got to tell that. Hello, Mom. Make that phone
call.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And so we settled down in Buffalo Center, Iowa, again, up on that Minnesota-Iowa border. And that's where we started our family and had our first home.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful life.
I bet it was.
It was.
Things changed, though, for you.
Yep, things changed. Yep, in 1988. So Rod, he was a lineman for the power company, and he was a member of the IBEW.
That's the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers.
Yep, exactly. Thank you. And he was a journeyman, so he had completed his four-year apprenticeship program, highly skilled, well-paid. Frankly, we were on our way to the American dream. But on June 3rd, 1988, he died in a workplace accident. And, you know, my
everything
life—
changed.
Everything changed. It sure did.
A family. You had a child.
You know, Michael, I had a 13-month-old son, and I was pregnant with our second son.
Oh, my.
Yep. Those were dark days. They really were. But I will tell you, it was, I learned a lot. And one of the things that was so comforting was when folks came over and told me about Social Security. And when the union folks came and told me about hard-earned union benefits, like workers' compensation and health insurance and a life insurance package and how my family and I would be taken care of. You know, you don't get rich on Social Security, but you get a chance to stay on your feet instead of going to poverty, which is where we were headed. So I'm very grateful for the generosity of the American people for investing in Social Security.
Not only Social Security, but also your husband and the IBEW how that helped.
I'll forever be grateful. And, of course, you know, I think today there's a lot of talk about unions, and they're under pressure and attack, I think, and it's unfortunate. I would like people to remember why their lights come on every morning, or who delivers their mail, or why their street gets cleaned, or the pipes get built and they don't leak and they work in our streets. So there's a lot of hard working union folks out there, and they need our respect. And unions have elevated wages and increased safety. I'm proud to be a union family.
So after that tragedy that happened in 88, what'd you do then?
Well, you mean after I spent a lot of time curled up in bed?
I'm sure. Teresa, many of us, just the sound of that, you know, the love of your life leaves home to go to work and never comes back. And unfortunately, that happens in many households across the United States due to workplace injuries and workplace deaths. So not only car accidents and all those other tragic, horrible things like school shootings and those types of things, but this too.
Right.
Is another issue.
Right. Well, I tell you, I was blessed. I had family, friends, my rural community. They certainly embraced me, my faith community, helped me get back on my feet. And I knew I needed to be able to provide for my family all alone. So I went back to college. And a few years later, I got my very first job as a single mom with two kids. And I was thrilled. Now, it was $8 an hour.
Hey.
But I knew that that job would lead to the next job and the next job and the next job, which it has. And I'll tell you, the most important thing I got back was my dignity, because I just think it's really core to who we are. If you have the ability to provide for yourself, it provides dignity. And it certainly did for me. And it gave me the confidence to know that I could always take care of myself and my children. So gaining skills, gaining education, training to be able to get a living wage job is a high priority for me as a candidate. It'll be a focus of mine in Washington, D.C.
So you had your first job at $8 an hour, and that led to another job and another job. And somewhere along the line, you met someone else.
I did meet somebody else.
And?
I did. I did. Well, so that first job was in urban regional planning.
Got it.
And I got out to a lot of city council, neighborhood, park board meetings, lots of stakeholders at the table. And I got to a meeting in St. Paul, Minnesota, and happened to meet a gentleman by the name of Steve Miller at one of those meetings. And he followed up with the folks that were hosting the meeting and said,
Who is that
farm girl? And that's where it started. And we're still at it today. We're delighted. How long have we been married? Quite a while.
And you have children?
Yep.
How many?
I have four children, Michael, and their ages are 31 to 24. And I call it Love American Style, because it doesn't get any better than this. My husband has a daughter from his first marriage. I, of course, have my two sons from my first marriage. And then we have one together, our little guy. He's about up to here. He is 24, and he serves the United States Army.
Wow.
So, yeah, we're
congratulations.
Thrilled.
You know, it's
thank you.
Bumpy road, but, you know, you keep on traveling, pushing forward, and you finally get somewhere.
Yeah,
well,
you sure do.
We fast forward to you living here in Des Moines, and you're the president of Colby Interests. What is that?
So Colby Interest is a commercial real estate company. It is owned by the Colby family, and they own a lot of retail centers, some office, warehouse, all over the Des Moines market. And we have about 400 tenants. And I lead their operations. So it's not only the strategic leadership at the board, it's daily operations, it's property management, the accounting, et cetera.
So you have a great family, nice job, things are rolling along.
Yes.
You're one of the few
yes.
one of the few executives in that role as a female in leadership.
Yes. I was the very first woman in executive role for that company.
And here you are. You go, wake up one day and go, I think I want to run for Congress. Well, how did you get to that?
Well, I've always been a scrappy farm girl. And so I will tell you, I've been a door knocker, phone caller, those kinds of things, certainly involved. But after the last election, I just decided that
in 16?
Yep, in 16, after mm-hmm. 16, that if citizen leaders don't stand up to run, we might never change Washington, D.C. And I am a glass half full person, and I want to be part of the change in bringing citizen leaders out to Washington. We just have too many folks out there who've been there
forever.
It's time for some change.
You know, it's interesting, isn't it? If we look back in our historical documents, the United States House of Representatives was never meant to be a career. It's always been meant to be mm-hmm. a citizen lobby where individuals go there from their respective careers and jobs here across this great land and stay there for a couple of years, a couple of terms, and then return and go back to work.
Exactly.
That's not necessarily how it's gone.
That's how it'll go with me.
So you're saying right now it's only a set amount of time, right?
Yeah. If I'm fortunate enough to represent these folks, that's great. I know there'll come a point where I'll want to retire, and that's not going to include working in Congress for 20 years.
I understand.
It won't happen.
Her name is Teresa Greenfield, ladies and gentlemen. We will have links, of course, to her website and how to get in touch with her. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, more with Teresa Greenfield, we're going to get into policy efforts. You've learned her background, who she is, where she comes from, and where she's potentially going after the primary in June. That and more about Teresa Greenfield after the markets here on the Business News Hour.
When you're in love with a beautiful woman, it's hard. When you're in love.